By now, I know that this house has some revelation to some extent about seasons and about windows of prophetic time. I know by now some of you are understanding what seasons look like and what prophetic windows look like. The Lord gave the children of Israel seven major feasts called the Feast of the Lord. They define the windows of visitations of God in the life of the children of Israel and in the life of the church. Amen? Even though God will visit them or they have things to do with the Lord at all times, but this particular feast, they are specific windows. It's like you go to work every day, but you only have one day as your payday. Amen? So these feasts are connected to windows of opportunity with heaven. Amen? Amen. And the Bible says that for every purpose under heaven, there is a time and season for everything that God does under heaven. The reason we are very mindful of this time, and I'm still encouraging those that sign up to take it serious, and for those that are committed to this time to take it serious, is because we can easily be distracted. If there's anything, anybody that knows outside of God a little bit about this season is the devil himself. And he knows exactly that distraction is a key to taking people away from the things God has arranged for them. So, there are prayers that we pray that connects us and locks us in to God, so that no matter what the enemy does, we cannot be pulled away from what God is doing. And that's one of the prayers we're going to pray today. No matter what we do, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, we are committing ourselves through this prayer to be absolutely in alignment with God's will. Amen. And one thing about this prayer is when you pray it with all your heart, when you really pray it with all your heart, and this is one area that the Lord said through Paul in Romans 8, that we know not how to pray as we ought to. That's why I say the Spirit of God helps our limitation, our infirmity. Because he that knows the heart of God knows also what is the mind of God, to pray what the will of God is for the saints. The will of God is for the saints. So this is another area tonight. Even though we pray, we're still going to ask the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, to help us in this area of prayer. Amen? And so if you truly engage in this prayer today, and truly it's kind of a prayer that almost puts you in a position of a covenant if you break through it, you are releasing yourself completely into the hands of the Lord. Amen? And God will order and direct your step. I mean what I'm saying, this prayer has saved me. This prayer gives me peace wherever I go, because I know I've committed myself to the Lord. And wherever I go, I just expect that God will deliver me, will protect me, will manifest his favor, his purpose. And no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, I know all things will work for good because of this kind of prayer. Amen? Hallelujah. In prophetic seasons, what we call the windows of opportunity or Kairos moment, which ties into the feast. If you see the feast as Kairos moments, Kairos windows, you know, times, you can experience God anytime. But this is God's time that says, you don't have to come to me, I will come to you. Every other time you're coming to God, but this feast is when God says, it's my window. I will visit you. Amen? He's the one making an appointment to visit us. But we have to be ready for that visit. Amen? So that's why we call it Kairos moment. It's his window. These moments, it is very important by this prayer that we are where God is visiting. Or we are in what God is doing. This is a time where it's important to be with what God is doing, in tune with what he's saying, in tune with where he's going. In other words, be in the direction of the wind, not against the wind. Be in the flow of the current of the river, not against the current. Amen? This prayer is the prayer that it releases you into the will of God, which is the wisdom of God, and is beyond the wisdom of man. This is the prayer when we pray today, it absolutely causes you to enter into the dimensions of God's realm and what God is doing. Now, what do I mean by that? This prayer, Jesus, that's his life, and that's where we're going to share, that's what he lived in. So if Jesus is the will of God and he prays the will of God all the time, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, if it's the will of God, here is Jesus had a revelation of God's plan and God's will and where God is going. And this very season as we're standing here, the Bible says he set his face like a flint towards that direction, towards Jerusalem. Like a flint means like a rock. He was determined, he was focused. And he knew he was heading towards the will of God. And this was a different time. This was his last visitation to Jerusalem. And 2 Sundays from now will mark when he walked into Jerusalem. And they welcomed him with palm trees. And they put the cloth upon the ground. And he rode upon donkey. Amen? Probably Renee will have to put in the... Amen. Sister Renee might have to put you in that play on Sunday so you can be among those that will be shouting. This is the season that Jesus was preparing for a window of time that was aligned to his destiny. And no matter what it looked like, this was where Isaiah 55 comes to pass. And that's why this prayer is important, you pray with your heart. Because I'll tell you very soon why. Because Jesus is totally in alignment, he sits in everything that God has revealed. He is on the same page with God. He wasn't thinking like men. He wasn't reasoning like men. He was a son of God. He knew the heart of God. He knew the will of God through prayer. So now, the Bible said, he set his face towards Jerusalem. And his countenance changed. And he was focused. He was moving towards the wind. And this time the wind, the will of God that was carrying him, he started telling his disciples, the Bible says, he says, now I'm going to Jerusalem. He's gone there all his life. He says, but this time, he says, the elders, they're going to beat him. They're going to spit on him. They're going to kill him. He's going to die. And he's going to rise on the third day. He said it several times as he was moving into this wind of the Spirit. So in the natural, this is what he's saying. Okay, I'm going to go through this thing and then I'm going to die. But he says, after the third day, I'm going to rise again. Meaning I'm going to be glorified. Fruit is going to come. Amen? But the disciples, being on the level of men, Isaiah 55 put it this way. God says, my ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. As the heaven is far from the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways higher than your ways. Amen? That is a pretty big distance. So God is saying, the natural man, like we've been saying, cannot attain to the things of God. Don't even bother to try to reason the mind of God. So when Jesus said it, immediately Peter reasoned it. And Peter said, Jesus just defined, this is the will of God for me. This is where I'm going. This is my Father's will. I'm heading that direction. And immediately Peter says, that's not going to happen to you. So Peter's mind was against the current of the Spirit because of a human position. Peter's words were in alignment against the will of God. It was like Peter was agreeing with Satan himself that Jesus is not going to do the will of God. And Jesus told him, get behind me, Satan. Amen? So what are we saying? Jesus is heading towards the will of God. And our human reasoning, Peter was trying to reason it and was directly off this direction. And Jesus says, you are trying to save the things that are of the flesh, not the things that are of God. I mean, how can somebody say they're going to die, this will happen, and they will rise? And if you're human, they're looking at losing him and all these things happening. And how can you accept that? Except you know what the will of God is. Amen? Amen. That's one level of laying the foundation for that. Why am I sharing that? Because in prophetic season, God begins to do things that he has purposed to do for that generation, for those people. And God brings us to the level of his will. So if we try to reason and we are not prepared for the season, we will miss that visitation. Like I told you, Jesus told the disciples, he told the Pharisees, when he was speaking, he says, when they see the wind blow here, they always know that rain is coming. When they see the wind blow from the west, they know that it's going to be hot weather. He said, if they knew it, why is it that this window of visitation, God, this is a time God is visiting you. How is it that now God is visiting you, not you coming to him, he's visiting you and you're not ready for him? That's why these windows are God's time to visit. So our job is to prepare for it. Whether we like it or not, the window, he will do what he wants to do. He will come through. But those who prepare for it are able to receive him. Amen? Amen. Another example is 11 of the disciples were in a particular room after Jesus rose from the dead. And everybody was noising about Jesus rising from the dead. And he came and he visited them. And for some reason, Thomas was not there. Amen? Thomas was not there. He missed that moment. But Jesus, knowing again the heart of Thomas, he said he came specifically again because of Thomas. And when he came this time, he told Thomas, put your hands here, put your hands here, and know that is me. Amen? Hallelujah. So while we are praying to be at the right place at the right time as God visits, wherever you are, we are believing God that also God will have mercy. Amen? And meet us at the point of our faith. Amen. My brothers and sisters, that word visitation is also the word for Kairos moment. It's the word for God's timing. It's the word for window of opportunity. Since 2006, there is not one feast that we did that I did not personally receive a personal visitation. Not one. Because we prepared for it. There are different expressions and manifestations of this visitation, but I can't remember one that my life was not changed because it's a different atmosphere. Like I just told you, Jesus says, how is it that you did not understand the time of your visitation? That's God visiting you, and you didn't even know. If the mayor tells you, I'm going to come to your house on Sunday, no matter what you're doing, you're going to clear your schedule. No matter what you're doing, you're going to call people and say, you know what? The mayor doesn't visit me every day. If you don't mind, I want to make this room available for him. I don't even want to mention the president coming to your house because our minds can't grab it. But how is it that God is saying, I'm coming to your house? And that's what this feast means. The feast simply means God is saying, I'm coming to your house. So one day we'll get it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, that's one aspect on a personal level. On the second level is when you position yourself for God to visit you, you are also positioning yourself for God to visit your family. Because you become a point of contact for God to visit your family. You become the head, you become the conduit, you become the forerunner for God to touch your family. It happened to Cornelius. And it happened to all through the Bible. It happened to Rahab the harlot. When he took the spies, they said, when we come into Jericho, we will save you. I say, bring your family. Anybody that has this sign that we put upon you, this token, they will be saved. They will be delivered. Rahab became a point of contact for her whole family to be saved. Amen? Because of a visitation. So during this time, you are not only receiving a visitation or a blessing on an open heaven or an impact of the will of God for this season, for your life, but you're bringing your whole family into that blessing. Amen? Now, not only your family, that's the second level, you are opening the door for your city to be blessed. Your geographical location, the place that God visits you, makes a significant, when God visits, God comes with all kinds of blessing. That's why every time God visits Abraham, he puts a sign on that place. When God visited Jacob, he puts a sign, it's called Bethel today. That ground, because of the visitation, became Bethel. A temple was built there. Wherever God visits you, because of God's visitation, those places are now blessed. They are sanctified because of that. Like many places today, there have been a move of God, has become historic sites, and things happen in those cities. So when we pray this kind of prayer, this prayer we're about to pray, we are also connecting our geographical location to the place. For example, Mary was going to give birth. God made a covenant through Micah with Bethlehem. And God wanted to bless Bethlehem. God wanted to honor Bethlehem. President Obama will be there this month. He wanted to bless Bethlehem where Jesus was born. So what did he do? He had to create a census to move Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem because the place where this will happen eventually will be sanctified for life. Prophetically. So where God visits you, it's a reason you have to be there. There's a reason why he visits you there. Amen? Mount Moriah, when God visited Abraham there, the angel showed up on the mountain and said, don't sacrifice this child. God visited him there. That's where the temple is built. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So our prayer today This prayer we're about to pray, you align it to yourself. You align it to your family. You align it to your city. And there is a reason the book of Acts says that God has placed all of us within the boundaries that he has set. We are all in the boundaries of the nations where we are set to seek after God. There's a reason we're set in the boundaries of nations. So again, wherever God visits you, he's not only visiting you, your family, the city where you are, but he's also visiting that nation. Amen? So we're going to align the nation to this. Amen? Amen. Now, this is why this also prayer is important. And this prayer point to me is because God said to pray this way, but there is so much mystery in it. Because this is the highest prayer you can ever pray if you mean it. And when we cannot, the Spirit helps us. The reason is when we are in the window of God's visitation, when we are in the window of God's visitation, God comes. In that window, he brings something with him. And whatever he's bringing in that window is his will. Let me give you an example. The winter season brings cold weather when that wind blows. The summer, when he says the west wind blows, it brings hot weather. Amen? It brings something with it. So, whenever God, in different seasons, is going to visit, those seasons have something pertaining to those seasons that God brings. This season we're about to enter, every time God comes through this season, he brings a season of harvest. It's called harvest season. It's also called the latter rain, the big rain, the outpouring of more rain. It brings rain, it brings harvest. This season, spiritually wise, it brings this. Now, this is why I'm talking about the will. Please, this is what we're doing this week is serious. And you will see in this few times we're here. Let me give you why this prayer is important. If it's going to bring rain and it's going to bring harvest, let's look at it this way. There was a season God brought rain in the days of Noah. The position where Noah was, the ground, the geographical land where Noah was very important. Noah left his normal place. He left the normal place where people are. He went into this forest where he was building an ark was there. He was inside an ark and he was in a different land. So when this rain came, he fell on everybody. But the position of Noah caused him to prosper. When God visited Sodom and Gomorrah, these are visitations, there was another kind of rain. It was brimstone and fire that was going to rain. I'm just giving examples. And God says, Lot and his family, where you are now, when this rain falls, you will not be safe. You need to be here in the mountain. There was a shift. And where Lot was, when the rain came, it did not affect him. In Egypt, when God rained and rained and rained different things, the Bible says there was a particular land called Goshen. And there was other places. It says these things that were raining down from heaven affected other places, but the Goshen was prospering. The one that surprised me, when I studied this, he said, darkness, which was the ninth plague, the locust was the eighth. He says when darkness covered the land of Egypt. Darkness. They could not even see themselves. You know, we have electricity now. He says the land of Goshen was full of light. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. I don't know how God did that. But we don't need to know. Amen? Hallelujah! Supernatural. And so many things. So what I'm trying to say is, for example, another way. Jesus told the disciples to go wait for him in Jerusalem for a promise. And then God rained his spirit. The wind came. The spirit of God came. But in Israel, for some reason, he visited in a particular place. And those people were able to became the first recipients. And before it started raining every other place. My brothers and sisters, he says he makes his rain to come on everybody, the just and the unjust. But the problem is, are you ready for the rain? If God is coming, if he's visiting, if winter is coming, are you ready? If summer is coming, are you ready? I am saying this because I know it's going to rain. But I don't know what the rain will look like. Amen? So I want this, what we are doing now is what prepares us for the rain. Well, no matter what God rains, we have no choice but to be blessed. That's our portion. We will be blessed because we prepared for it. Let me tell you the bottom line. Whenever God visits, the bottom line, this is in Isaiah 66. Anytime God visits, anywhere God visits, he will resist pride and he will dwell with the humble. Whenever God visits, he looks for those who are marked with the blood and he dwells there. Anytime God visits, he's looking for those who are waiting on him. And the rest of the people, the visit will be uncomfortable. But those who wait for him, the visit brings a blessing. I believe with all my heart, that's why we're in this season. This visit that is coming is bringing blessings, is bringing breakthroughs, is bringing favor, is bringing things that God will manifest. But the unfortunate part is only those who prepare will be able to receive it. Amen? And those who are not prepared, this visitation will look different to them. They will not understand it. It will look like a disaster. It will look like, you know, what is happening, what is going on. But for those who prepare, they will be blessed. Amen? We will be blessed. Amen? So I've already shared and explained the prayer point. Let us look at this prayer point in scriptures and then pray it. Let's open to Luke 11. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Luke 11. Verse 2. When you pray, that's what we're doing tonight. Say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The level of the prayer in these are all prayer points that we are focusing on today is thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. That's our prayer point for tonight. The will of God for our life to be for God, for us. Jesus says, not my will, but your will. In this season, your will be done. Whatever you plan to do, whatever you have for me, because your will is perfect, is good, is great, is what I want. My mind might think like Peter, but I just want what your will want, because your will bring glory. It will bring everything. No matter what happens between now, I just want your will. I want your will. Your will is inheritance. Your will is your glory. Your will is your power. Your will is the harvest of the nation. Your reign brings fruitfulness. Your will be done in my life. In this visitation, whatever you do, like Mary, let it be done to me. Your will be done. Your will be done. Amen? That's our prayer point tonight. Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity, means our weaknesses or limitation. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, this is what happens after this prayer. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are the called according to what? His purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Why is this prayer important? This is what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, God has plans for you to go west. God has destined for you, predestined for you to go west this season. God has made plans. He said, for whom he did foreknow, he knew you, Cody, to go west in this month. He wanted Cody to go west because he has plans for Cody according to his plan. He has a lot of things planned for Cody before Cody was born. And because Cody loves him, Cody seeks him, Cody prays, but Cody's prayer is limited to what he knows. So he says, when the Spirit of God helps our prayer and he prays the will of God for our lives. So Cody is supposed to go west in this season. Is this season, this God is going to meet you in this window, this particular window. He's going to visit you because you're going to be going west. And there's something he's bringing your way when you're going west. So what happened? Cody is going because he's human, he's a Christian, he loves God. His prayers, you know, he prays, but not like the Spirit of God we pray. So Cody is around west, but he's just going, doing stuff. But for some reason, he's here in the south, maybe with his children and his family or whatever he's doing. But because Cody prays this prayer about this season, the Bible says the steps, something will just happen. And Cody, you know what? I need to go look for my father's goat in this direction. And he's looking for goat. His mind is not, I need to spend time here. I need to do all this. I need to be at work. But sometimes the goat is missing. And let me go look for it. And the goat is going west. And he goes looking for goat in the west. And Samuel shows up and says, that's your time of visitation. So God says, all things work together. God will begin to orchestrate your step. Okay, God just showed Joseph, you're going to be a leader, you're going to be a king, you're going to, and Joseph prays, and his prayers in those days, they can't pray in the spirit. He's prayed, he looks, he said, okay, all of a sudden, he's in his father's house here, where everything is going great, but God says, your promotion is in the north. And he has no business to go to the north. He has to stay here with his father in this south. And all of a sudden, his brother says, you know what? This guy, we're jealous of him. He's getting so, let's take him and throw him in a pit. They took him and threw him in a pit. He said, no, let's not kill him. Let's sell him. All of a sudden, some people are going north. Ishmaelites. Oh, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. He sold him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites took him, going towards where God planned that his mind can never conceive. And his mind is saying, they made me a slave. Okay? He ended up in Egypt as a slave. All things do what? Work together for good. What is it? God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So in a human sense, Peter is saying, Jesus, you're not going that way. Joseph, you're not going that way. But what did Jesus was taking? Peter said, stay here in the south. Jesus says, no, I have to go to the north. The north is the cross. I have to die. Why do you have to suffer? No, you know, the human mind says this way. God's will, the prayer of the Holy Ghost, he predestined, he knew where your blessing, where your glory, where you will sit is here. And Jesus says, I know what the will of God is. That's Satan's will. It looks good, it feels good, but if my flesh does not die, I cannot enter into what God has. So what did he do? He had to go to the cross, and he says, not my will, but your will. Joseph, comfortable in his father's place in the south, but the plan that God showed Joseph, the limitation of man, Joseph did not know that in this north is where he's going to sit as a king controller. But how does he get to the north? Just the same way God put a donkey in Paul's path, the same way God caused his brother to lead him there. How did he cause his brother? Then God caused, he went to Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife lied against him. Oh, wow. And then in essence, he was in jail. Every step took him until this last step took him under Pharaoh's throne and then took him to Pharaoh's top. All things work together for good if you love God. Pray the will of God and your circumstances is taking you somewhere. In our mind, we think, he betrayed us. He did all this. If Judas did not betray Jesus, he would not be in the cross. So God used Joseph to reveal a mystery. After Joseph was now seated, now that he can understand the will of God, now that he's gone through this process, the brothers came and said, they were, oh my God, human again. Look at what we did. He's going to get us. Joseph looked and said, no, it was not you. You didn't bring me here. You mean we didn't sell you as a slave? We did not want to kill you? We didn't do all this bad thing? It wasn't you. God brought me here. Who did he use to bring you here? The devil. Why the devil? Because everything the devil does against you to stop you, if you pray this prayer, the devil will take you to your destination. That's why this prayer is a high-level prayer. And that's why Paul says, all things work together for good when you pray this prayer. The enemy cannot stop you because you have said, God, your will be done in my life, on this world as it is in heaven. You've committed it. You pray it. It's in God's hand. Every circumstance is taking you closer to your promotion. That's why his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen? And his ways, what? Higher than our ways. Moses knew that, but the children of Israel did not know. And they complained so much in the wilderness because they didn't know his ways and they did not enter into their promise. There are many of us here today God is taking us to a place of promise, and we are fighting him hand, tooth, and nail, and we are even gossiping against it and murmuring without knowing. If we can just surrender after praying the will of God, it's easier for the situation to take us to our promotion. That's why we are God's children. Amen? Amen! If you got the revelation, hopefully you can pray tonight. That way, even Jesus knew how painful it would be in the flesh. Is there no other way? He says, but your will be done. So tonight, we're going to pray that prayer. For this season, specifically for this season, this window. Because God is going to visit you, but you have to be where God will meet you. Amen? You are about to be blessed. Your destiny. You've been prepared for this time. You are for this moment. Forgive me for, I never used myself, but this time I use myself a lot. I came to America for this season. I have been waiting on God for this season. This is the season of my blessing. You better claim it for you too. Amen. This is the season of my promotion. This is the season of my inheritance. I'm declaring it and I'll have what I say. Amen. This is the season that the enemy will be clothed with shame in my life. I hope you're saying the same thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God is going to visit me. I hope you're saying the same thing. Hallelujah. It's a window of visitation. Can't you see it? Prepare for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I promise you, if somebody says they are coming to visit you from New York or New Jersey, they are coming, you make some effort to clean your rooms and put the clothes where they need to be. Amen? You do some laundry that you've not done in a long time. That's what preparation is all about. Somebody's going to visit you, just think about it. You look at your closet 3 times. And make sure that some things are not there. Because that you don't know what room is going to go in. Amen? So if we do that for human beings, why are you going to wait for a season God says, I will visit you? You know he's going to visit you, and you don't prepare. You'll miss it. So that's the secret I've carried through all these windows of prayer. And not one has failed. But this time, is the best season ever we are in. Let's stand up together. So pray in English, the will of God, but pray in the Holy Ghost. Tonight, just pray in English, thy will be done, but pray in the Holy Ghost as much as you can tonight, and just press into the will of God for this season. Amen? Let me confess something to you. Just so you take these prayers more serious. I think I've said enough. I'm holding back a lot for this season so that our hearts will be ready as we go closer. But this particular prayer point for you, pray for your children, pray for this city, pray for your family, pray for this nation. This particular prayer point, it's a prayer point that I have already, you know, when Elijah was praying and he was praying and praying and praying and he saw the cloud. The sign of the cloud told him, period, the rain is going to fall. Eh? I can tell you just the way you can use that. That's the way myself, based upon what I am expecting this season, I have seen a cloud. I'm not talking about physical. You understand the metaphor. I have seen something that has shown me tangibly, not vision, not dream, not speculating, you know, not trying to guess. I have touched and seen and tasted something that tells me it's going to rain. So that's why This 21 days is the emphasis is so strong, and the processes are being measured wisely until we get to a particular place. So pray that no soulish attachment, all these things that we think are important, will take you away when you are hearing over and over, God is coming to your house. Amen. Amen. So the musicians will help us. And as we pray, anytime God leads you, you want to come, God puts a pure, broken prayer for you to help us. Pray for us. Help us cry for this house or for this nation. It's just simply one prayer. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Come and take this microphone and lead us. But please go around and just pray. Pray this. Take this serious. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.